Chapter 14. Kings and Kingdoms. A wise woman always receives her husband's overtures with delight, no matter how clumsy he may be. God created Adam and commissioned him to take the position of leadership. Since then, every son of Adam has received the same mandate. Man was created to rule. It is his nature. But the only place most men will ever rule is their own little kingdom, called home. At the least, every man's destiny is to be the leader of his household. To deny him this birthright is contrary to his nature and God's will. When a man is not in command of his little kingdom, and is not shown the deference and reverence that goes with that position, his kingdom will not be ruled correctly, and the subjects of that kingdom will not experience the benevolence of a king who truly loves and cherishes them. When you neglect to reverence your husband, you are taking something precious away from yourself, your children, and your husband. When the President of the United States makes a public appearance in one of the 50 states, even if he is not popular in that state, everyone spends time and energy preparing for him. When he arrives, he is treated with respect. It is not the man or his policies that the people are recognizing. It is the office and all it stands for. God made your husband the president of your family. Your husband is not there to show you deference or to be your helper. It is not God's will for your husband to reverence you. It is not God's plan for you to remain seated at the dinner table or in your lounge chair and expect him to serve himself. Our modern society has conditioned us to expect him to serve us. It hurts our feelings if he doesn't do things that we feel he owes us. But that is not the plan God set into place. Our failure to know and believe the written words of God has caused us to accept a cultural lie. Our culture stands diametrically opposed to God at every turn. It is time to realize that feminist beliefs have tainted almost all public schools and even the best of Christian teachers. God says in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Women feel that they will lose some of their self-respect if they surrender to a man who is less than wonderful. Surrendering to another is not for wimps. People say of an obedient woman, "Oh, she's just the meek and timid type. She needs to get a life of her own." They know not whereof they speak. This is not abstract, puzzling doctrine. It's practical and pragmatic. The more I show my husband reverence, the more he treasures me and treats me like his queen. God made man so that our deference and respect feed his tendency to show tenderness and to be protective of us. Reverence is not just how you act, it is how you feel and how you respond with words and with your body language. It is not enough to get up and serve him. Your eyes and the quick, carefree swing of your body must indicate your delight to be engaged in serving your man. You cannot fool a man. He can see your heart as well or better than you can. Keep an eye on his dinner plate so you can anticipate his needs. Deference is a hot cup of tea while you take his shoes off after a hard day's work. It is a glad face when he returns after being gone for a short time. It is thankfulness for his attention and affection. Deference to your man is the height of true femininity. It makes a woman beautiful, gracious, and lovely to all, but most especially to him. The next story is an example of the opposite of reverence. Don't mess my hair. A few years ago, I attended a meeting with my husband where a group of leading men were discussing grave matters, trying to come to a conclusion as to what course of action they should take. The men sat in a circle with their wives sitting beside or right behind them. Sitting across from me was a sober, earnest young man whom I will call Charles. He was there with his attractive wife. In the midst of an intense part of the conversation, Charles leaned back and draped his arm around his wife's shoulder. She immediately reacted with obvious irritation, shaking his hand off her shoulder and leaning forward as if to get away from his embrace. Then she carefully fixed her hair where his arm had disturbed it. His mind was jerked off of the serious problem at hand and was focused on her, now, as was the attention of almost everyone in the room. To her, brushing him off was nothing, but to all those in the room, including her husband, it was an act of putting him down like a thoughtless, inept child. Everyone felt his humiliation. After that, Charles had nothing else to contribute. For the duration of the meeting, he sat downcast, properly chastened, with his hands in his lap. I wanted to get up and shake that girl until her teeth rattled. It would have shocked her to know that everyone in the room felt extreme disdain toward her for her self-centered response. She continued to straighten her hair, unaware that she had just shown a complete lack of honor and reverence toward her husband, and unaware that she was wasting her time trying to look pretty, for she had lost all that was lovely and feminine in that one act of disdain. Carrying that kind of rejection on a regular daily basis, Charles will never really be able to cherish his wife, and he will never have what it takes to become an effective minister or leader. Yes, she is his wife, and he will undoubtedly continue to love her. But his love will always be more of an attempt to win her. Until she repents, he cannot love her with abandoned joy. A man's ego is a fragile thing. How can a man cherish someone who cares so little for his reputation? Her act was a testimony to the state of her heart. She thought more of her hairdo than her husband's honor. She was rebelling against God in not reverencing her husband. To reverence is an active verb. It is something you do. It is not first a feeling. It is a voluntary act. As we reverence and honor our husbands, they are free to mature before God and to minister to others. Charles was not free. He was troubled and bound inside. Regardless of how a woman may feel about her husband, she can choose to obey and honor him. A husband is told to love his wife. It involves how he feels toward her. You can will to do what you ought to do much sooner than you can be motivated by your feelings to act. As we said earlier, when you choose the right way, feelings will soon follow. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple and knoweth nothing. Proverbs 9:13. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Proverbs 14:1.